Father, we just want to thank you so much for opportunity to gather together today. So grateful, Father, for worship. I want to thank you, Lord, that because you live, we can face today and tomorrow. And Father, we have such a great confidence today because our Savior's risen today. And that, Father, we do. We serve a risen Savior. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that as we open your word today, that you would come and you would speak to us through it. And that, Father, that you would talk to us. And that, God, that we would walk away from here with just some principles to live on and live by. Because you say, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I thank you for your word today. I thank you for what it means to us in this place. And I want to thank you for how it washes and how it sanctifies and how it brightens the eyes and how it makes us wise, Lord, and how it rejoices the heart and restores the soul. And I ask in Jesus' name it'd have that kind of effect today. Just as the rain falls down with purpose, so does your word go forth from you and accomplishes your purpose. And it doesn't return void until it does exactly to fulfill your word. And I pray you come, fulfill your word in our lives today. I pray, Lord, that the word, again, would wash us and sanctify us. We go from this place excited about who you are, excited about what you're doing in our lives, in our midst. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I wanted to move back into the series that we started before Easter on setting your house in order and seeing that our houses as our lives are in order before God. And so I want to do this by looking at this passage in Matthew chapter 7, which is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is finishing up this wonderful, wonderful sermon. And he's literally saying, listen, if you'll hear these words that I'm speaking to you and you'll act upon them, you're going to be okay. You're going to be all right in this world. Matter of fact, you're going to be so great that even when trials come and even when storms come, you're going to keep standing because your life has been founded upon the rock Jesus by hearing and doing these words of mine. And so what I'd like to do is come to the conclusion of this sermon and talk about in the context of setting your house in order. Setting your house in order. Now, last week or a week ago, Johnny and I went to the Indian Reservation and we talked about that, the Navajo Reservation. And during the week, Scott decided, well, we talked about putting new carpet in my office. And so what happened was I came back a day early, and so the place was an absolute total mess. Okay? And when I walked into the conference room where they had all the stuff accumulated from 30 years, I realized that my office was not in order. Matter of fact, the closet had so much space in it. I mean, it had so much stuff in it. I'm telling you, you could have taken a U-Haul. I just couldn't believe how much stuff. And I threw away like 8 or 9 bags of stuff that was just in the closet alone. And so then began to piece that thing back together. And man, I look in my closet every day and say, boy, look how clean this closet is, you know. As a matter of fact, I got the door open so you can come in and see how clean the closet is, you know. But that's how things are. You know, you walk into my office and I'm pretty neat, you know. I mean, I'm not immaculate, but I'm pretty neat and have things in order. And you think, boy, that house, that office is in order. But boy, there's some places in my office that weren't in order. They were absolute total mess. You know, that's how sometimes we are in this life. I mean, we look like we've got things going together and it's all together and we're talking in the community. We come to church, come to Sunday school, go to home fellowship, and man, things are looking good. Things are great and you look good and you look good to everybody. But there's some secret places in your life that are out of order, that need cleaning, that need spring cleaning. And need to be remain clean in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the church even. Yeah, there's secret things. There's things that you don't open the door to. I mean, how many of you ever seen inside my closet, my office? Oh, you have. Okay, yeah. And Scott, staff, all right? When did you look in my closet? and so no one's gone in and looked in my closet. But it was a mess. And I want to ask the question, if you opened up the closet of your heart, what would people see? Would they see a life in order or a life out of order, because pretty soon you can't keep up the facade. You can't keep it up, because pretty soon what's in the heart is going to come out of the mouth and people are going to see. So what I want to do is I want to look at the words of Jesus in the context of ordering our houses before God, and what we do to make sure that our house is found in order. Okay, so I just want to, matter of fact, yesterday, yesterday I was in Huntsville at a prison speaking to Cindy Viss's brother, and we went down to Huntsville, and he made a statement that that just really kind of, It didn't shock me. It didn't shake me, but it just made me thinking about this message. Now, he said he came to Christ 10 years ago, okay? Gave his life to Christ 10 years ago. But he hadn't been doing too good. He hadn't been living it out. And so one of the things he said was that if God came today, he didn't know if he'd want to face him today. And that's interesting, isn't it? Here's someone who's given his life to Christ. And if Jesus came back today, he'd just say, I don't know if I'm prepared to face him, all the things that I've done. And we talked about God's forgiveness and how God comes to do this work in your life. And the question we ask is, what will you begin to do today to sow good seed to the Spirit as opposed to bad seed to the flesh, right? And so to go from day to day, week after week, month after month, year after year, sowing to the Spirit of God. And I really think it resonated with him that no matter where I've been, no matter how much my life's been a mess, I have an opportunity today, right now, to get things right, get things in order, and start living a life day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, so that I come 10 years from now to look back and say, oh God, thank you for the decisions, the choices that I made by the power of the Spirit of God that's gotten me to this place now. I'm sure glad I'm not where I was the decade before. And so the question I want to ask is, where do you think you'll be in your Christian life 6 months from now? Because if you're just kind of coasting, you're going to be either where you are right now or you're going to be worse than you are. And so what I want to do is I want to give you some principles today on how we choose life and how we walk through this life with our homes, our houses, the life, our life, the house of our life, the house of our marriage, the house of our family, and the house of our church in order. And so today's title of the message is A House Set in Order, and it's God's way, His way. Notice chapter 7, okay, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through this gate and get on this road. And then he says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Let me tell you about setting your life in order according to God's way. The number one is, as you choose life. That's what you do. You choose life. You choose a lifestyle that follows after God. Now, I want to go to a verse of scripture that I wanted to share with you later in the service, but I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, just real quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 30. This passage of scripture, the reason why I'm just kind of changing the order of it is because I want you to know that even in the Old Testament, this is what God's been asking of us. To choose life and not death. To choose life and not death. To choose the things of life, the things of eternal life, and not the things of death. And God has been doing this all history. I mean, from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve fell, He gave them the choice to follow after Him, or they could eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and find death. I mean, it's always been there. The choice has always been ours to make. To choose life or to choose death. And so in chapter 30, verse 15, Moses is coming down to his farewell address. It's his last counsel. And he says this, verse 15, see, I've set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. The small gate, the small road that leads to life that few find. That's one way. Or there's the broad gate or the wide gate, the broad way that the Bible says that many, many people are on today, following after death. And so God says through Moses, see, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Listen, gang, there's two choices that you get to make every day. Now, I say this, once you come to Christ and you're born again, it's done, okay? Believe me, I believe that. But every single day, I get to either sow to the Spirit or I'll sow to the flesh. I'll either choose that way which is really life, or I'll choose the things of this life that are not life but death. And it's always the same. I like to see it like this. The Bible said this way: as you've received the Lord Jesus, so walk in Him. How did I receive Jesus? Now, we're going to talk about this in a minute. I received Him by faith, and faith alone. Faith, putting my full trust in what He did 2,000 years ago on the cross for my salvation. Because I can't save myself. You know that, right? You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. I needed a Savior. That's the point of Him dying. And that's the point of Him being the only way to Father. Because He died on a cross for you. If there was another way to the Father, it had been accomplished. The only way was for Him to die a perfect sacrifice in your place and my place. And so with that in mind, with that thought of a people who come to Christ initially and choose life and not death, listen, it's a walk. I'm walking this thing out. I'm walking salvation out. Now, it's not by my own effort, but it's God, it's Christ in me, the Scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that lives this word and lives this work out. So, even in the Old Testament, listen, I'm setting before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, and that I command you today to love your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His word, His statutes, His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you're entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away, and you don't obey, and you're drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your seed, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, by holding fast to Him. For this is your life, this is the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Very, very early in God's history does He say, you have an opportunity to choose life or choose death. And this is what Jesus is saying. Enter by the narrow gate. Because the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to what? Destruction. But this narrow gate and this small road, few find it, but it leads to life. And it's eternal life in the end, but it's also experiencing the eternal life in the here and now, right here. And we find that through faith. I'm just going to say this, because I can never love God with all my heart and follow His ways on my own. Have you ever tried that on your own? Didn't work, did it? But by faith, when I put my trust in Him and trust in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of our great God and Savior, then I can walk these things out that God has asked of me when I'm reflecting His glory, reflecting His image. But you got to choose it. You got to say yes to it. Because you know, there's so many of us in this world and so many of us in this life that we have followed after our own flesh, we followed after our own desires, and we've ended up in cesspools. And we've ended up in brokenness, and we've ended up in devastation, and we've ended up in things and stuff that we're not proud of. And we've made choices and decisions that have dishonored God and dishonored our body and dishonored our members and dishonored the church and dishonored Christ. And I don't know about you, but I know we have a choice to make. And with that choice comes the power to make it. By faith. Okay? By faith. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to notice what Paul says about walking this thing out, walking this life out in order to have this house that is set in order. And I'm looking for mine. Ephesians chapter 5. And my word, Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 will tell you who you are in Christ, and Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 will tell you how to walk because you're in Christ, okay? This is what our life is supposed to look like, right? So in chapter 5, He talks about, oh, he's continually talking about this walk. Look at verse 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love just as Christ loved you, gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Immorality and impurity, greed, it's not even to be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness, no silly talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving you thanks. Because for this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who's an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore don't partake with them, because you were formerly darkness, now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. And all things become visible when they're exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. Look at verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We walk different. It's a different kind of life. And it comes out of this relationship with Christ. And it also comes out of this relationship with the Holy Spirit, living God, that we're to be filled with and controlled by. And then you know what he says in here? And he says, listen, be filled with the Spirit and then do this together. Singing, singing hymns, praise songs to God. Do it in community. Walk it out in community. Walk it out in the church of the living God. Choose life by following after him. By putting your trust in him. Now once that happens, I get to see what comes out of my life. And so if you go back to Matthew chapter 7, he'll go on to the next section, which I'm just going to say, examine your life and the fruit of your life, okay? So you choose life. It's a true life change. It's a true walk. You walk through the small gate. It leads to life. You're finding life. Let me ask you, do you think life is happy? The life of God? It is. Everybody goes, yeah, it's happy. It's joyful. The life of the enemy, the life of death, that's not happy. That's not joyful. I mean, everything about it is bad. And that's why Jesus comes to give us this way. But I enter into life, and then the question is what is it that comes out of my life? So notice what he says in verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs or thistles, are they? Verse 17. So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. More literally, it's a good tree cannot keep on producing bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. And there are other places that says you will be known by your fruit. You will be known by what comes out of your life. That's how you're known. That's how I'm known. As believers in Christ, not because we say something nice, but because we speak it and we live it. We talk it and we walk it. Now, this is what I believe with all my heart. I believe that Jesus Christ comes into my life and your life not to lay dormant or powerless, but to do an abundant, mighty work in our lives. Amen. I mean, you've heard me say this before. Is it good news? Is it good news of Jesus Christ that says, I get to go to heaven one day, but I'm going to get my head beat in the rest of my life? Is that good news? Everybody say, no, that's not good news. It's not the gospel. The good news is heaven. The good news is relationship with Christ forever. But it starts today. And I'm not talking about it's free from suffering and free from bad things happening. I'm not saying that. Please hear what I'm saying. I'm just saying that we get to overwhelmingly conquer in the name of Jesus because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And everybody can see it. And everybody knows there's something different about you. Because you've entered into the narrow road, and all of a sudden you've got a new root, and the old root's out, and now you're a good tree. You're no longer the bad tree. You know, I like what Paul does in Galatians chapter 5, well, as he separates good tree, good fruit from bad fruit. So I want you to turn there right now. Keep your place in Matthew, okay? And go to Galatians chapter 5. Now, I want to, just as you're turning there, I want to make something really, really clear. When Jesus said a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, literally it's in an infinitive, and this is what he says. If you're a good tree and you got some bad fruit coming out of you, if you're a good tree, you can't keep on doing that. Matter of fact, you won't keep on doing that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm not talking about perfection. Talking about direction. Amen. All right? Please hear what I'm saying here. It's really, really important. A good tree cannot continue to bear bad fruit. Now, this does two things for us. It causes us to examine ourselves. Paul was really, really good about, in most of his letters, to say, hey, examine yourselves. Make certain you're of the faith. It's okay. I'm not talking about, you know, wringing your hands and thinking that God's going to strike you because you did something bad today. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a healthy fear of God that says, God, I want to make sure, I want to know that I know you. I want to know that I'm living in you. I want to know that I'm making the right decisions. God, I want to know that I'm in right relationship with you. And so I want to examine my life, I want to examine my heart. And so, but if I got something that just keeps coming up over and over in my life, and it's year after day after day, or month after month, week after week, year after year, or whatever, I want to say, God, what is that? Why is that coming out of my life? I don't want that out of my life. My wife doesn't want that coming out of my life. My children don't want that coming out of my life. No one wants to see that coming out of my life, and neither do you. And so, God, I want to set things right. I want to set things in order. I believe with all my heart that I've chosen life by accepting Christ into my life and believing what he did for me 2,000 years ago. He did just for me, and I've given him my life. But, God, I've got these things coming in my life, and they just seem to keep coming up. And this is what I say to you. The Bible says if you're a good tree, you can't keep doing that. And I don't mean it like that. I mean, you can't, because there's a new root in you. Some seasons are hard. Some seasons are difficult. Some of you have pecan trees. Some of you have orchards. And sometimes the fruit is horrible. Some seasons. Mushy. I mean, bad. Well, you don't go cut it down. You wait. See what's going to happen next season. Because it's a good tree. It's not a bad tree. It's just having a bad season. And I believe that. I believe you can have a hard season. I just believe if you're in Jesus, you can't stay there. You don't want to stay there. And you won't stay there because of the power of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's look. I hope that gives you good news. I hope that gives you something to really, really think about and believe and be joyful about, to say, you mean this doesn't have to last? Listen, if you're a good tree, it won't last. It won't. And that's the good news that we get to invest in, the good news that we get to believe in, that I'm a good tree in Christ Jesus, and he's in my life, and I've got his root in me, and so I can't keep on doing this. I can't keep talking like this. I can't keep living like this. I can't keep having the same kind of attitude like this. We've all had the hard attitudes. I mean, hard seasons, haven't we? I mean, there's times that things have come our way that have been hard and difficult, and we've questioned God, and we've fallen from him, and we've not trusted him. And you know what? God's patient. God's loving. Matter of fact, there's a great parable in Luke that says that this guy had a vineyard, and he had a fig tree in the middle of it. And he always came looking for good fruit on it. But one season he came and said, It's not fruit. No fruit's coming out of it. And he went another season. And so he finally told the vine dresser, he said, hey, go on and just cut that tree down. For 2 years, I've been coming looking for fruit on it, and it hasn't had any good fruit on it. Just cut it down. And you know what the vine dresser, Jesus, says? Oh, no, 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 no. Leave it alone. I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to water it. I'm going to nurture it, and I'm going to nourish it. Let's wait another year. That's what God does for us. God is patient. God is long-suffering for us. And you may be going through a difficult season right now, a hard season, where you're blowing it a lot. But I want to tell you, if you're a good tree today, if you're a good tree in Him, you won't stay there. You just won't stay there. A new season is coming. A new season of fruitfulness that is wonderful. Now go to Galatians chapter 5, or I need to. I think y'all are already there. Galatians chapter 5, and I want you to notice what he says in verse 16. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will, now I'm going to say this literally, you will never ever carry out the desire of the flesh. Now everybody will agree here that the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. Verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now watch this. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Those are sensual sins. That's any kind of sexual activity outside of the marriage bond. Okay, that's sexual sin. And he says that this is a deed of the flesh. But then he goes on, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. And then there's things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, watch, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there's no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, what they've done, they've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now notice something here. He's got a bad fruit. You've got good fruit. The Bible says if you'll walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the deeds of the flesh. Can I tell you this? I believe this with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. Do you know why I believe it? Because it's in God's Word. It's in God's Word. God says this, not Mike Fritcher. God says this. That there's two kinds of trees. There's a good tree, there's a bad tree. And the good tree cannot continue to produce bad fruit. If you're a good tree and you're in some kind of sin today and it's a stronghold and you've been living in it, if you're a good tree, you're going to stop doing it. And you're going to stop doing it by the power of God in your life. That's what I believe with all my heart. Now, you might be slower than others, but if you're a good tree, that's what's going to happen. So bank on it. Believe it. Trust God for it. Trust God how it's going to work out. If you're walking in bitterness and anger, dissensions and those kinds of things. Listen, God's come to change our heart. That's the good news. I don't have to walk in that anymore. I don't have to be a stronghold in my life anymore. This is the victory of Christ. This is what we say to the nations. This is what we say to neighbors. We say God comes to restore life, comes to make you new, comes to restore your marriage, your family. Everything that's wrong in your life, Christ comes to make it right. Amen. See, this is good news. And this is what it looks like. That I put off the old and I put on the new. And there's two ways this happens. And it's never like this. I'm going to tell you this right now. Now please, I've done this before, I'll do it again, and I'll do it one time more again. Have you ever seen a tree do this? Gosh, I got to get that fruit out. No. You never see it straining for the fruit to come out. Why? It just comes. There's a bloom. It comes, and all of a sudden, the bloom leaves, and there's that fruit, and it comes out, and it's green, and it grows, and it's just kind of this natural thing that comes out. And so often, we want to just strain and think, I gotta work at this. And if you think that's what I'm saying today, you're getting me all wrong. Walk by the Spirit. Just listen to what the Spirit says and obey that and watch the fruit come out. Matter of fact, you wake up one day and you think, man, I've not said a bad word in 3 weeks. Right? That's you. Yeah, she said that. She said it. That's me. It's a great story. You've heard it. I've not thought of this anger in months. I've not walked in fear. I've not walked in judgment. I've not walked in condemnation. I've not gossiped in 3 weeks. What's with that? I've not complained. I've not clicked on a bad site. Why? What? That's what happens. We wake up one day and there's fruit coming out of our lives. Why? Because we've been sowing to the Spirit. We've been making right choices. It's the good tree. Fruitful. Individually and corporately as the church. I say this. I've said this to a few people. And sometimes, you know, I don't talk like this, but I'm going to talk like this today. I believe God wants to make our church a fruitful tree. Because as one in Christ, we have a good root, and that's Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you, sometimes from time to time, I'll just have this thought and this, call it a vision, call it whatever you want, but I just see it. And one day I was just driving out where you drive out, you know, right to 6. And I just had this picture, and I was had this picture that I was under this canopy of this huge tree. And the tree was in the middle of this property. And I mean, it was huge. And it was fruitful. It was green. It was lush. And it had fruit all over it. And you know, sometimes when I see things like that, I just immediately say, oh God, let that be. Just let that be. And this is what I believe God said to me. I think God said to me that if we'll keep pursuing Him as a church family, like we're talking about right now, that people will come to this tree and find rest under its shade. Wherever there's a burden, and wherever there's strongholds, and wherever there's hurt and grief, that folks could come, just be a part of us, touch us, maybe for just a season, and find rest for their soul. There'll be shade that will bring folks rest. Leaves that will heal. And fruit that will have impact in every life that comes. And I tell you, that was about 8 months ago. And I'm just telling you, as your pastor, I am seeing those things happen. I have seen it happen in people's lives over and over and over and over. I'm seeing rest where people are just exhausted spiritually. We're seeing folks healed, and we've got an anointing right after this. We're just seeing folks changed and fruit coming out of their lives. And I believe that a good tree is not only for the individual, but it's for the individual couple and the individual marriage, but it's also the corporate body of Christ, the local body of Christ. I believe that with all my heart. Chance quoted Psalm chapter 1 about the tree planted firmly by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Its leaf never withers. And whatever that tree does, it prospers. It bears forth fruit. The key is to all of this is that we choose life. We move into life, eternal life, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our tree becomes green, not nasty looking. Our fruit becomes wonderful, not bad. And then what do? We keep choosing life. Look at the next section. The last section of this sermon is we keep choosing life, and we keep doing it according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who is hearing these words of mine and acting upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, yet it didn't fall. Why? Because it had been founded on the rock. And if you're founded on the rock, you have a house in order. You enter in. You examine your life. You're led by the Spirit. This fruit comes out. And then you keep choosing by hearing what God says and doing what God says by the power of the Spirit of God. Why would we want to do His Word? Because of the obvious benefits of living His way. Because we can truly be a house, people on a firm foundation. And because, let me just say this, when you do what God asks you to do by the power of the Spirit of God, and by your faith, because really I believe it's only by faith that you can ever do this, it pleases God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that pleases God. I want to live a life that pleases God. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? How might God be speaking to you in this passage of Scripture of a house in order? Maybe some of us need to go back to Galatians chapter 5 sometime today, sometime this week. Examine the fruit that's coming out of our lives. Maybe there's some things in my life that I've said no to God to, and I know that God has asked me. I've heard His Word, but have I followed through with it? You've heard me say this in years gone by. If you've ever been here long enough, what are the things that God's asked you to do that you've not done? What's the last thing God asked you to do that you've not done? Would you go run and do that? This is about good news. This is about right choices. This is about sowing to the Spirit of God. This is about living our lives out according to who God has declared us from the foundation of the world when we put our trust in Him. What's the attitude that needs to change in my heart? What's the sin that I need to get rid of? What is the fruit I need to embrace? What is it? What is the unbelief that's gone on in my life that's causing me not to believe these great promises of God? And how might I believe Him? And how might I be used of Him? Not in just word only, but in deed, truth, according to 1 John chapter 3. I'm telling you, we have a great opportunity to do the right thing every single day of our lives. And the right thing is never according to what you think it is. It's according to what God says and how you embrace it. Because I know a lot of people who follow their heart straight to hell. Straight to hell. We are people led by the Spirit of God. And that's the good news. Let me just say this before I pray for you. There's something.